Turning now to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11 and verse 34. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verse 34. These words of Christ: "The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness." Our subject is spiritual realities and seeing spiritual realities. Now, the Saviour was addressing a vast crowd of people, an unusually vast crowd. And in verse 32, he gives this warning: "The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here." And he warns the people that they will be accountable for what they do with his words and what he has to say to them. And then in verse 33, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle or a lampstand, a lamp, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick," that is in the Greek a lampstand, "that they which come in may see the light." It was not many weeks ago we were actually looking at that equivalent verse in Mark's Gospel. The Gospel of Christ is a light for all, and it shines for every man and woman, every soul. But this brings us to that 34th verse: "The light of the body, the organ of seeing, is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness." Light may stream to us, daylight, artificial light, and it may illuminate the face. But does it register? Is it any use to us? This is ordinary light. If we did not have sight, then it would do us no good at all. It wouldn't help us. It wouldn't register with us. The eye is so vital. I'm saying the most obvious things. Sight is so precious to us. Sight is of great practical importance, obviously. We function by light, by seeing. And it is a great source of pleasure also, because we see pleasant things and beautiful things and things which interest and excite us and please us and stimulate us. So sight is so precious. And right at the outset of this message, imagine taking a journey and you're blind. Now, I can't think under what circumstances this might happen, but just imagine that you had to take a journey of 3 or 4 miles across open country. It was desperately important. You cannot stay where you are. You've got to go off in a certain direction and find something. But you are blind. What hope have you got? And the terrain is dangerous. And there are pitfalls, even ravines and rivers. There are all kinds of obstructions. What would you do? How could you possibly make it in that journey? How would you know even in what direction you were heading? How would you know to recognize or to see your destination? The situation would be hopeless. You would be terrified, at least. You wouldn't know what was going to become of you. And so it is taking a journey in life, a spiritual journey, without having spiritual sight, without knowing what this is all about, without knowing about God, about the dangers along the route, about how God will deal with you and lead you, about your eternal destination. Why, it's crazy to take the journey of life while the spiritual light is out and spiritual sight is not there. And all you can do is react to material, present, earthly situations. As far as your spiritual journey is concerned, you cannot even begin. You cannot take it. In this 34th verse, it's recorded that Christ, in this miniature parable, says some remarkable things. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, which means sound, thy whole body also is full of light. We're not used to thinking along these lines, but of course it's perfectly true. If your eye can see, then your whole body can see. It's obvious. Not literally, of course. It's the eye that sees and the brain that processes the messages from the eye. But it is as good as if your whole body can see. Your hands can see to reach the things you need and require. Your feet can see to tread in the right direction and to avoid obstacles. Your whole body is, or may be said to be, full of seeing, full of light. Your whole body is informed by the eye. So the effectiveness of the eye is tremendous because it informs and directs the whole body. And that's the analogy which is drawn here. But then the Saviour goes on to put the other side. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. And he uses the word evil. Now I have noticed that some modern translations, in their effort to make the Bible as easy as possible, have gone much too far. And they put it like this. They have the Lord Jesus Christ saying, if your eye is bad, or if your eye is defective. And that's not what he said. And the difference is very, very important. If thine eye is evil. In other words, in this miniature parable, the eye is to be blamed. It is culpable. It is to be blamed for what it is doing. Christ is not using the eye and comparing it with your spiritual sight and saying, oh, if you're very unfortunate, how sad, your eye is not up to it, you just can't see properly. He's saying, no, spiritually, you have an evil eye. And it's because you have an evil eye, it's behaving mischievously. It's behaving in a malicious way. It's being dishonest with you. It's being spiteful to you. He uses the word evil deliberately, not just a bad eye, but an evil eye. If I don't understand spiritual things, and if I don't know where I'm going, and I can't be bothered whether I'm going to heaven or to hell, and I don't know the way of salvation, and I reject these things, it's not sad me. I've got a defective spiritual eye. It's that I've got an evil spiritual eye. It's my prejudice or my unbelief. It's something that is to be blamed in me, which means I can't see, and I won't see, and I won't look. So actually the words of the Saviour are designed to jolt us and wake us up. There's a fault in us that gives rise to this. And in the light of that, we look further into this miniature parable. The eye is evil, so it misleads me. It tricks me. It leads me into trouble. I do not see the obstacles, the spiritual obstacles on my journey. I do not see the temptations of Satan. I don't understand. Now, it's very interesting to extend this a little further. The eye. You can be long-sighted, you can be short-sighted, you can have double vision, you can be colour-blind, you can be all kinds of things which interfere, though most of these things can be corrected, but you can naturally have all kinds of problems. Well, I'm waving about a pair of half glasses here because so many of us, as we get older, we become long-sighted. And we need these curious things to correct it. Some people say half glasses make you look more distinguished. Other people say they make you look slightly crazy. But that's a matter of opinion. But anyway, we all become long-sighted as the time goes by. But do you have a sight problem spiritually? A spiritual sight problem. Short-sightedness, myopia. You can have it spiritually. And this is what happens when your spiritual eye is short-sighted. You can't see distant objects. As you look at life, this happens particularly to us when we're young. You may have perfectly good vision, but as a young person, you may be spiritually very short-sighted. You can't see distant things. You're not thinking about adulthood, middle age, old age, death, eternity. All you see is now. Oh, what am I going to do tomorrow? What am I going to do in the next few hours? What am I going to have, possess, be given over Christmas? What's going to happen to me? What am I going to enjoy? What am I going to find tough or unreasonable or difficult? You can only see what's right under your nose. And that's a disaster in life. Because if you go through youth only seeing what's immediately before your face, you make no provision for life. You make no provision for, you've got no depth in you with which to go into life. You've got no spiritual life in you or understanding of what life is about or what its purpose really is. You don't know the great issues of life. How can you have a successful adulthood? How can you have a happy middle age? How can you be fulfilled as a person and deep as a person, profound and understanding? How can you respond well to all the troubles of life? You can't, because you're not prepared for it, because you've only been looking at the things immediately in front of your face. Friends, I don't want to sound offensive, but that's spiritual short-sightedness. Life doesn't have a purpose. Life doesn't have a meaning. Nothing is to be prepared for. I do not need God. I do not need help. I blank out eternity and facing God in judgment altogether. These things I don't see. Only the present matters. Oh, dear friends, spiritual short-sightedness. It's very shallow. It's highly inadequate. It's no way to go through youth, young manhood, young womanhood, into adult life. Spiritual short-sightedness. Do you think you might be spiritually short-sighted? Or long-sightedness, hypermetropia, long-sightedness, the one I've just described, where we all need to reading glasses and things for close-up objects. Well, spiritual long-sightedness has a curiously similar effect to spiritual short-sightedness. Spiritual long-sightedness is this. Only my ambitions matter. I'm a dreamer. My hopes. I'm going to have a great life. Everything's just going to work out. All my ambitions are going to be fulfilled. I'm going to succeed. I don't know what your ambitions are. When we're young, we have crazy dreams. Some people dream of being famous. Some people of being rich. Some people of accomplishing this or that or the other. And those are the things that we've got fixed in our minds. Just we can't see what's right close up and what we need now. I am a sinner. I am away from God. I need to find Him. I need to get some realism into my life. I need to have a real meaning and purpose in life. The future rests upon the present. It's no good just being a dreamer. Oh, there's a good aspects to being dreamers and visionaries and things like that. But you've got to tidy up the present and get your present life in order and your relationship with God and get a new life. You're being duped right now by the enemy of souls. He's giving you false values, false expectations for life. He's ruining your outlook. He's turning you into a little pagan or an atheist. He's dealing with you now, and you've just got your eyes on dreams. And it's a kind of spiritual long-sightedness. You see how it works. Or you can suffer from astigmatism, distorted vision, and things don't look right. They're distorted or blurred. Perhaps. And there are people today, and they see good as evil because their vision, their spiritual sight is so distorted. Good. I don't want good. I don't want to be a slave to having to do good things, having to obey the Ten Commandments, having to be decent, having to be honest, I don't want that kind of curtailment on my life. I see good as enslaving if I've got this spiritual astigmatism, distorted vision. I see sin as liberty. I can do what I like. I can just do what I find pleasurable. I don't have to consider whether it's right or wrong. And this is in a big way these days. Things that the whole of society might have been horrified at 30, 40, 50 years ago are now being introduced to society. Sins that are your right, sexual liberties, do as you like, and so on, without restraint and respect for one another. Evil is seen as good and reasonable. So there's spiritual sight distortion. And people, they see faith as a chain. Oh, can't think of anything worse. To have faith in God and to walk with him and to obey him. What a terrible chore. What an awful thing. Of course, if they saw the reality and they saw how a relationship with God enlightens up your life and enriches you and makes you an altogether different person and is happiness and peace and everlasting life. But no, sight distortion spiritually doesn't see it like that. Everything is distorted and ruined. And then there are people who have a kind of spiritual double vision. And everything they see twice, only it's worse than double vision. It's not the image parting so that you see the same thing twice. It's the image parting in such a way that you see opposite things at the same time. And there is this double vision spiritually. Now, for instance, there's one famous atheist who's forever attacking faith and religion. And he has made a great issue of saying, you can be perfectly moral and be an atheist at the same time. And he maintains you can have a good moral life and high moral standards and be an unbeliever, indeed a militant rejecter of God. So he claims. But that's a kind of spiritual double vision. It's a contradiction. You cannot. And indeed, the same man, well-known public figure, he goes on to condemn God and to criticize God as having, a thing and being insane about sex and having an obsession with it and being completely strung up about sex. What an extraordinary thing to say. You can be moral and you can be an atheist. At the same time, morality, he wants to remove and to let everybody have whatever moral liberty they like. You can't be an atheist and a moral person. You cannot be an atheist and take away all fear of God and desire to please him and uphold his revealed, divinely revealed moral standards. That's a complete nonsense. It's double vision. And then there are people who say, well, I believe in God, and I believe God must be holy and perfect. I believe all that, but I don't believe there's such a place as hell. And I don't believe God could ever punish sin. And I don't believe in such things. Well, that's a contradictory belief system. If God is good and God is holy and God is perfect and God is just, he must close heaven to sin. God in his mercy has made a way of forgiveness. And the Savior has come and died for sinners. But God must punish those who reject him. And those who sin against him, his very holiness demands it. It's contradictory sight to think God is good and holy and perfect and fair and at the same time doesn't mind what people do and will never judge them and will not deal with wrong and with sin. Contradictory things. And then there are people, and this must be said, and in their vision, they lose an area of viewing in one eye, sometimes in both eyes. So they can see, but there's a patch they can't see. here and there, certain things they cannot see. And that's common enough, isn't it? Spiritually. Spiritual sight imperfection. I can't see myself. I can't see my sin. I can't see things that are wrong with me. I see myself as better than I am. There seems to be blind patches over my sinfulness and my deserving of condemnation. It may be your dishonesty. There's a kind of blind patch over it. You don't see it. It may be your pride. Funny thing is, you see these things in other people. You say, I don't like that person, he's dishonest. I don't like that person, he's conceited. But the blind patch comes over our own pride and dishonesty or selfishness or whatever. We can't see our record before God. So we see, but we have blind patches. And there are all kinds of things we can't see. And then there are people who have a difficulty in focusing. The eyes just won't focus sharply on things. And everything is out of focus. And it's very difficult to look. So, of course, you need glasses and lenses and so on for that. But there's spiritual lack of focus. And I think, I know I grew up with this for some years, a spiritual lack of focus. When I came to Jesus Christ as a late teenager, and I was converted to Christ, and I found him, I suddenly began to realize that I had heard the message of the gospel many times before. At first, when I was first saved, when I first knew about Christ and Calvary and his death for sinners, and that I was a sinner and I needed salvation by repenting, by putting my faith and trust in him, and he would give me a new nature and spiritual life, I thought I was hearing those things for the first time. And I came to Christ. And then as time, I remember hearing this X years ago, so many years ago, at this school, at that place, at some other place. Why did I think I'd never heard it before? Because I had a failure to focus. I was just vague. I didn't focus. I didn't look. Are you suffering from a spiritual lack of focus? Though you give these things no detailed thought. I think that's what happened to me. In my sinfulness and willfulness, I was running away. And I know people who, they've come to Jesus Christ, and they were in Sunday school for years. And yet, it was as though they'd never heard anything. And then when God moved in their hearts, they were hearing these things for the first time. And yet you think, well, you sat in Sunday school and in Bible class year after year. The spiritual sight wouldn't focus on anything. The fault is in us. We don't see because we don't want to see. So we don't grasp even the simple things, the plan of salvation and things of that sort. Last year was a man who died, and in his obituary it was written that he'd been brought up in a Christian family, gone to Sunday school, been a churchgoer until he was about 24 or 25, and then he turned away from it. But I read a book by this man in which he said, or he wrote, he could not figure the Christian faith. He'd been brought up in it, and there was no coherence, nothing cohesive in it at all. There was nothing that he could recall and pick out with any certainty that constituted a message. Amazing thing. Well, that's what I had as a youth. No focus, no capacity to see the elements of the Christian faith. But here are some things that I don't think are represented in human sight defects. With spiritual sight, sometimes we see things much bigger than they really are. I was reading some years ago in a book, about World War II, somebody who manned the anti-aircraft guns over London, and he gave this anecdote that when he had his first real time out shooting at planes in the air, the searchlight would pick out an enemy plane, and he would set his anti-aircraft gun and so on and fire at it and be amazed to see the tracer and so on falling so far short of the target. And he realized that in the night sky, when the searchlight picks out one aircraft and that's all you can see, it looks a whole lot nearer than it really is. And you guess completely wrongly how far away it is. Well, there are things in spiritual sight like this that seem a lot closer and a lot bigger than they really are. So, for example, possessions. You want things, do you? You want things to have and to gloat in and to possess, and wealth. You want them? Oh, they look so rewarding. They look big and terrific, don't they? Well, they're not, of course. Some things are nice, but they won't satisfy your soul or your life. Some people live for things. They look so wonderful, so big, so colourful, and they're not rewarding at all. Achievements. I know a young man, or knew a young man some years ago, and he was coming to church, and I thought he was seriously seeking the Lord. And he was something of an athlete. And he said to me, I don't think he ever made this standard, but he said to me, what I really want in life, and he stopped coming to church, what I really want in life is if I could accomplish something significant, if I could get into the Olympic squad, if I could do that, that's what would really please me. That would make my life, he said. That reward seems so big. I said to him, all right, suppose you do. Suppose you accomplish that. Then, of course, you leave it all behind. And you lose your fitness and your skill and your capacity. And you become middle-aged and perhaps overweight and all the rest of it. And it's all, is that going to keep you going through life? The achievement to you, it looks enormous. Your sight's all wrong. Soon it'll fade away. Ultimately, you'll have nothing afterwards. Perhaps some minor place in the record books and a medal to show to people. And what's that going to do for you as a person? And things can seem much more rewarding. Pleasures. Oh, give me pleasures. They're big. They're the significant things of life. But then there's another sight problem spiritually. Other things can seem much, much smaller than they are and than they deserve to be. Once again, my sin seems to me much smaller than it really is. The blessings of God that people talk about, they don't seem to me anything. He's talking about blessing, a new life, walking with God, understanding the meaning of life, on the journey to heaven. This seems so small to me. My spiritual sight's all wrong. God himself seems so small. What a tragedy to have all these sight problems when it comes to spiritual things. And sometimes, well, you see things just falsely. It's like a child. A child's lying in bed, wakes up in the night. There's not much light, looks out of the bedclothes and, of course, sees a coat hanging on the back of the door. Suddenly the child is struck with terror and cannot move and thinks there's somebody there. There's an attacker there, an assailant there. Of course, it's pure imagination. But the sight, the light was poor. It was only the child's own coat on the back of the door. But for a time, it was terrifying. And people can be misled like that with spiritual sight. Terrified of God. Terrified of believing in him and walking with him. As though God is some taskmaster or somebody who will take your joy and your happiness. Oh, dear friends, There are so many things can go wrong with our spiritual sight. How foolish we can be. Now I'm going to come to conclusion. What prevents our seeing things properly? Well, it's the evil eye. It's the eye that's wrong. It's to be blamed. Here's the problem. I'm proud. And because I'm proud and conceited and pleased with myself, this is the evil eye, I have no sense of need. I have no sense that I need God, and I need his forgiveness, and I need his blessing and power, and I need his work in my life. And so, because of my pride, my eye is defective, my spiritual eye. I don't want these things, so I don't understand them, and I don't take them in, and I don't see them. And maybe it's my love of sin. I love my sins. And so because I love my sins, I can't see properly, and I won't take in the message of God. And it might be my self-righteousness. I'm not going to have anybody tell me that I am so bad. I need to grovel to God and ask for his forgiveness and for new life. It might be all kinds of things. But the fault, dear friends, is in me. It's the trouble is my spiritual sight. I have an evil eye. Oh, we need to look. That's the counsel of the Lord. We need to look, we need to listen to the message of God. Bring your soul into the reckoning. When you think of the things of God and life and Christ and forgiveness, bring your soul into this. This is what matters. And then you begin to understand, I am a needy person. And you'll hear the message. You'll read it for yourself in the Bible. You'll hear it from a Christian friend. You'll hear it from a preacher. You'll hear that God is holy and perfect, and I am a rebel against him. And you'll understand it. But then the most amazing part, that God in his mercy has made a way of salvation, and Christ has come. Second person of the Trinity, equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And he has entered into a human body. You know about the incarnation. So that he can be my representative, my sin bearer. And he has gone to Calvary's cross, lived a perfect life, perfect Lamb of God. And then he's gone to that cross. And God the Father has put upon him all the guilt of those people who would be forgiven down the rolling centuries of time, and punished him instead of them. And the Father, in his great justice that must punish sin, has punished it in Christ. This was the divine plan before the foundation of the world. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in eternity past conceived the plan whereby God himself in the Son would take the punishment of those who would be forgiven, of those who would receive new life, of those who would go to heaven. This is what we need to understand, and we'll see it. Once we realize our need, we'll see the message of salvation. Oh, you need to see your need, dear friends. How much you need God's forgiveness. You need to see your danger, that as every day and every week goes by, your heart will be hardened without coming to Christ. And it becomes more and more unlikely that you will ever find him and know him. You need to see how essential it was for Christ to come and die for you. Because God is so holy and just, he cannot just pass over our sin. And the fact that he took it himself, the punishment himself, is marvelous beyond human comprehension. You need to see, you need to be changed. You need to be converted. You need to be given spiritual life by God. And you come to this by repenting of all your sin, asking God to change you, believing and depending in Christ, on Christ, saying to yourself, I could not even contribute to this. I come so far short of God's standard. I depend upon his mercy alone and what Christ has done for a sinner like me. And you believe in him. You believe in him. You rest your soul upon Christ. This is the message. Do you see it, friends? Are you spiritually short-sighted, long-sighted? Distorted sight, is that your problem? Patchy sight? It's the evil eye, says Christ. We don't see, we can't see, because we don't want to see, and we won't see. Oh, pray to God for help, for sight, for the seeing spiritual eye that sees the way of salvation and comes to Jesus Christ for life and for blessing. That's my message tonight, dear friends. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. Conversion will change your entire life. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, says the Lord. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. The heart of God is so kind. You ask him, he'll help you. You know, I close with this simple observation. I often say this to people. They say, I can't repent. I can't feel my sin enough. I would like to be saved. I can't believe enough. Well, here's something you'll never see in the high street. You see in the window all the sale notices, the items reduced, 50% off, 70% off. But what you won't see is this. If you cannot afford this item, come in and we will give you the money for it. You'll never see that. But that's the heart of God. If you can't feel your sin, if you can't feel your need of Christ, if you cannot give yourself to him and believe in him, just ask God to enable you to do so, and he will. Let's pray together. Oh God, our gracious Heavenly Father, look upon us all this night. Give us eyes to see. Give us the eye of faith. Give us spiritual eyesight. Oh Lord, that we do not wander off down life's pathway, lost and condemned. Help us all, O Lord, we ask. And we ask it in the name of Christ, for his sake. Amen.